two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's always some guys that are still up in the air and you know, looking to sign most of our guys, I would think, but we're also welcoming a bunch of return missionaries to the group that are starting in January, so we'll see how it goes. I think most of the guys will be announced. It almost seems like February is the right time to announce them, whether they sign in December or not. I think we're probably going to just focus on the missionaries coming in and the mid-year guys that are going to be signing with us, and then release the rest later in February.
KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com. Mitch Harper here. BYU football conversation. Cougars leading up to National Signing Day later this month. It's crazy. Football regular season's in the rearview mirror. Hawaii Bowl's coming up later this month. But in between now and the bowl game, there's a big day on the football calendar, and that's National Signing Day. And the recruiting calendar has moved up. It's now the early signing period is the big day in recruiting. And to talk about BYU football recruiting, the process, and kind of get to know this individual a lot more, got the director of player personnel down at BYU for the football program, Alema Fitisimanu, player personnel coordinator for BYU, and also former BYU linebacker who played from 1984, 85, and then 88 to 1990 here on with us on Cougar Tracks. Alema, welcome on in.
So, Mitch, how you doing?
Doing great, Alema. I'm excited to have you on board, and thanks so much for taking the time to join me today, because I know your schedule is busy. With that player personnel coordinator, this is your second football season, third recruiting class now, or second recruiting class?
Second recruiting class.
How's it been going for you? How have you enjoyed being back at BYU? Because I know previously, prior to BYU, you were at Utah.
Yeah, I was at Utah about four seasons. Great being back at BYU. You know, I was kind of nervous because I was gone for 20 years, never really came back to campus, been associated with the football team, was out of football, you know. And then I come back into the building and I go, oh, man, I know everybody, so this is great. This is like home.
No, that's great. And the thing is, with being here back at BYU, how has it been to see work with a guy like Kalani Sitake, who recently got the contract extension? He's now here for the foreseeable future here at BYU. How's it been working with Kalani?
Love working with Kalani. You know, that's one of the things you worry about when you're coming over and you're joining a staff, you know, who's the guy at the top. And, Kalani checks all the boxes as far as character and X's and O's. And I just want to, you know, I was really surprised at how thorough he is on what he wants as far as his culture on the team, that type of stuff. So, you know, it's a dream come true. I love working with Kalani. He always has the kids, the things that are most important to them, their priorities are most important to Kalani. He's always trying to make sure that they're taken care of. So that's important to me as well. So it's an easy job to come into. You know, everybody's all on board as far as what we're trying to create as culture, and then developing the kids. So, you know, it's really exciting right now.
And it had to be fun too when you got hired to this role at BYU to work with a guy like Kalani, because many people on the outside looking in, when they talk about Kalani Sitake, they talk recruiting. The guy is well known for, well documented, his ability to evaluate and project and kind of foresee the next great talent in college football or the NFL. He's got a really good eye for evaluating talent, it seems.
Kalani's got a great eye. So talents that Kalani have, evaluation of talent, you know, forecasting where a kid's going to play at his best to get him prepared for the NFL. And then the other talent he has is people. Man, he goes out of his way to make connections with people. And so that helps people relax, helps people talk and share information and build trust. And he's able to do that quickly with parents. So that's a great, great thing to have as your head coach and me being the recruiting coordinator. I need guys who are like that, you know, magnets for people, want to be around them, want to come, you know, feel the love, feel that they're important, feel that they're a part of something that's going to be, you know, that they need to have in their lives. You know, some of this, culture is, you know, is one thing. Having all those services and support is another thing, and then helping kids see their future, that's the other thing. Kalani does that really well.
In recruiting, it's a people business, as you mentioned, with relationships and connecting with people. Speak to your responsibilities in this role. I mean, you can look at on the website with coordination of recruiting activities, but kind of speak a little bit deeper as to what your role consists of with recruiting and what's your day to day.
You know, a lot of guys, they ask me, well, how can you go over there to BYU? You're going to be hamstrung as to recruiting. You can't do certain things and you can't bring in certain guys. I always look back at really it's about marketing, right? And so you want to market who you are, and you don't ever want to market someone that you're not, you know. So I love it that I'm at BYU, and BYU has a specific mission as to what it's trying to accomplish with young adults, you know. And so, what's great about us is we're very unique, and we have huge strengths that help people, right? And so my job. So that's an amazing story, right? It already has a great story. My job is not to mess up the story. And so making sure communication is consistent with what we're trying to accomplish, who we are, our mission, all that type of stuff. And so as far as from mailers to note cards to graphics to social media posts and those types of things, I try to make sure it's all consistent to who we are and that we're, you know, highlighting all our strengths. And all these things that make a lot of people say that makes us kind of peculiar, I see as strengths. Missions, the LDS Church, being backed by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, man, that's huge. And the things that it stands for, I think that's what makes us very attractive to people who want to come to BYU and play for BYU.
I'm glad you bring up those elements there, because I remember, too, on the basketball side at BYU, I remember Mark Pope earlier this year. He said something about, because he was posed questions about the challenges of recruiting at BYU, and he used the word a filter, saying how, like, instantly you got an instant filter because some guys, they don't want the lifestyle that maybe is at BYU. Do you feel that filter has helped you guys in identifying recruits and getting the best 85 scholarships plus the 123? Has it helped you guys?
I think it really helps, you know, when you know who you are, and recruits know who you are, they kind of filter themselves out or filter themselves in and say, hey, they double down and say, no, I know all about BYU, and I want, you know, that's the kind of lifestyle I want. That's what my parents want for me, that type of stuff. You talk to a lot of the guys that have come through BYU, especially the guys who were big culture guys. They're the kids that grew up with the BYU posters, you know, on the wall and knew from day one they were going to be BYU guys. And that's who runs culture-wise. That's who runs our locker room right now, are these guys who are all about our strengths, you know, and use those strengths. Even the non-member guys are the guys who, you know, like in our player panels that we have with recruits, they're very vocal about the things that they were looking for and what they found at BYU and how they made BYU work for them.
You know, and one of those guys that always, when you talk about player panels, I always think of a guy like Micah Simon, Micah Simon, who's currently on the team, heading into his final game later this month in the Hawaii Bowl. And Mike has had a great senior year. I mean, it feels like BYU, there's great talent on the field, but also there's just genuinely seems like good guys off the field as well. And Micah seems to embody that and be one of those guys that maybe helps in recruiting as well.
Micah's our number one go-to for the hosts, you know, host assignments, you know, for recruiting weekends. Micah's a great example, too, you know, of a guy that, you know, things didn't come easy for him as well. You know, he came here and he needed those years to develop a little bit. But as we were developing him and he was finding his way, finding out where his resources are and working with those resources, he's, man, to have that senior year that he's just had, that was an incredible year. And I think, you know, his success story is one of those things where, that's exactly who we want. You know, a guy who's not a member of the church, but knows what he wanted out of life and was going to, need opportunity to grow a little bit. And then, and as we sunk more, invested more in him and let him develop, you know, he was able to come through with flying colors. This year was a huge year for him, and it just goes to the decisions he made off the field and on the field. So,
signing day coming up a little bit later this month. It's Wednesday. It's a 72-hour window, the early signing period. There's still the traditional signing day, that first Wednesday in February, but the early signing period is now when these college football programs get their classes taken care of. And I know we obviously before signing day can't speak on any particular recruits, but I'm curious, when you and your and the coaching staff at BYU are sitting down and game planning for recruiting efforts, because these classes don't just happen in the month of December. The people that think, oh, now it's time to look at recruiting, this is years and years of work to put together these classes. But when you communicate with the coaching staff, what are some of the goals you're looking to accomplish when you assemble these recruiting classes?
You know, a lot of it is just knowing what your needs are. And as soon as the coaches understand what their needs are, then they can go do what they normally do, which is go out and make those connections with those coaches that they have in their areas, and they're able to find and discover, you know, those the talent. When we're putting together a class, it really goes down to who do we have right now? What's that team look like? And then, okay, what are our needs? What how can we make this team better? And so when we go out, we're always – our eyes are open to all the talent that we're going to see on a particular day. But when we all gather our information and bring it back to the office and we all look at that together, then we'll say, okay, this is where we want this particular guy. Okay, he can't really replace this guy, so we'll keep that guy where he's at. Those discussions start to happen. And then the class starts to shape up, you know, because then guys have to fill certain spots. We're only given 25 scholarships each year so with the return missionaries that come back, those spots get even smaller, you know. And so we have to think, well, especially when we have the sign and send guys who go on missions, just what kind of contribution they're going to make when they get back in 2 years, you know, and when can we actually see them contributing, you know, just how early in that 4 year span will they start contributing? And so our ability to forecast 2 years from now is very important, because not only are we trying to get the current class in line, we're looking 2 years from now to make sure that these sign and send guys go on missions, and we support missions. But we can't always take a lot of mission guys all the time. But so when all those return missionaries come back, well, you got to be, you know, it's got to be a decision made.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be just happening to you. It has to be a decision made that you're going to have these guys come back and they're going to be these freshmen that would have been coming, you know, had they not gone on missions.
So you're probably already working on what, 2022? I mean, in 2023?
Yeah, already. I can't look at 2020 and not look at 21, right. 22, and 23, because those are the decisions that we're making by taking certain guys, you know, this class. So, you know, we try to have those boards up and we have a look at each of those boards and see, you know, okay, are we doing okay there? Okay, we can do that then. We don't want to hamstring ourselves and all of a sudden things are happening to us and we're not decision, you know, and we're doing things with purpose, you know.
What would be some of the needs that you do feel are maybe the position needs in this 2020 class?
It's corner, wide receiver, and running back. Then, you know, running back, man, we had Tyson come through. He's and Isupka come through. They were awesome. We'll need another couple guys like that probably in this next class. And then, you know, corners and wide receiver were a bit thin. And so we're looking for some guys like that. So guys are in L.A. right now and then in Texas and Arizona, you know, even Northern Cal, trying to keep their eyes open for guys.
In cornerback, it's been fascinating because under Kalani, it feels like that position, a lot of great talent is coming. It's just been injuries and here and there. But the current talent you can get that's in the roster right now and pair that with some recruits out on the recruiting trail, you got to feel like you got a pretty good cornerback group to work with. But how many guys do you feel like you want to have in that cornerback room when you get to, say, fall camp next August?
We can have as many as 6 to 8. It just depends because then we might be high on one position and maybe low on another, but it's okay. You know, it's kind of fluid right now, especially during spring, and we don't really need to get down to those numbers until fall, you know, when we have to be so there's some flexibility there. And so although this class is one class that we're trying to fill in with scholarship guys, the search kind of goes on during spring with walk-on guys and all these other guys trying to come on and try out and stuff like that. And they're taking a lot of reps during the spring. And then we're finding out a little bit more about guys who maybe the early admit guys that come in January, like the JC transfers and that kind of stuff. We'll see those guys in the spring. So it just kind of depends, you know. We do want to get that number that we need as far as but we always keep two or three spots open for something that might fall in our lap during the summer.
How is the you mentioned Tyson and Soup? How has the transfer portal changed your job?
That's one more data piece to factor in. You know, so part of my process is on a daily basis. I'm pulling up the transfer portal and seeing who's on there. It's nice. I'm glad it's available. It's a little bit more official now. So once he's on the portal, then I can actually reach out to guys and start communicating with them, you know.
Because before, a guy like Tyson probably, maybe let's say, probably isn't at BYU without the portal, would you say?
Yep. Without the portal, he's probably so he's left to his own devices to find a place to play. And so that means he's calling probably his local areas, people around, and he's not calling BYU.
Yeah.
And because we got on it quick, that we were able to get him, you know. And the other key to that is getting him on campus. As soon as we get guys on campus, that's really opens up their minds as to what's possible, you know. So.
And I'm glad you bring that up because official visits are happening. Those are a big thing in the recruiting world. And for those that aren't familiar with that process or that term, what is an official visit and what goes into that and how do you maybe coordinate that and you and your recruiting staff?
So official visits are visits where we can pay for transportation and hotel stay and we can feed them. And we were able to afford some activities that they can do, you know, with our, you know, during the weekend. And this is a chance for them to interview us, see what it is that we have that's available to them as far as resources and things that are important to them. And then it's a chance for us to get to know them too, you know. So if we've asked someone to come on an official visit, that means we know we think he's a great fit. And so having him on campus just allows us more time to get to know him and his parents. So getting an official visit is not the end all, but it is very important in the process for him to commit to come on an official visit. That means he's seriously considering you. He only gets 5 visits a year, each recruit. So when they're taking that means they're pretty much deciding between 5 schools. A lot of times guys will come, especially guys who are very motivated. They want to come to BYU. They'll come on unofficial visits during the summer before they're offered an official visit, just to show to the school how committed they are. They said, we really think it's a great school. We want to come on our own dime. We'll travel up. Can you show us around so we can learn a little bit more about your school? And we would do that. And then so at the end of the day, and we're trying to decide whether that kid's important to us enough to put on the roster, that, you know, we would consider that as a, yeah, you know, he invested his own money to come see us. We've got to give him a little bit of credit, you know.
I've always been curious, too, because with these recruits, I always see the hordes of candy at their hotel room. Who chooses the candy? Who knows what these guys like as far as the drinks? Because they all get, like, specific to what they like. Who is that? Are you the man behind that?
So, you know, that's something that doesn't cost much, but goes a long way.
Kids love the food.
You find that a kid likes Skittles and you got him Skittles in his hotel room, boy, that's a game changer for that kid, you know.
That's great. Talking to Lema Fitzsimonu here, player personnel coordinator of BYU on Cougar Tracks. And so how do recruits get to your how do they become on your radar, I guess? Because in the past, Kalani has said, hey, fans, alums, send referrals our way. Like, he's been very vocal. Like, we want to utilize the vast BYU fan base that's worldwide. And so how do – if people know of a recruit that maybe is a kid that they feel could be D1, how do they get them in contact with you? And maybe what do they – what type of athlete needs to be kind of brought to your attention for you guys to start really looking heavily at a kid?
So most of the kids that can ball – we all know about them.
Right.
So
there's no secrets anymore.
There's no secrets to who the top 300 is in the country, right? So we all know those guys. So what would really be good for the alum to be very effective in this and unique as well, you know, is that they send me guys who have accolades or some kind of right. Someone else can verify that they're good players, you know. All state, all region is all good, that type of stuff. At least we can start there. A guy that doesn't have many accolades is tough. It's tough to, you know, it's got to be some people that have seen him play and recognize that he's a good player, you know. And then the other criteria, like we were talking before, you know, if this kid can't start at USC, it's going to be tough for me to take him because that's who I'm playing the next season, right? So we play Stanford, we play Missouri, and all these guys. And so if a guy doesn't have offers by any of those big top schools, it's really tough for me to take him. He would have to be a development player, and then a development player we don't have time for generally. Generally, we don't have time for or spot for. We need guys who are going to push the starter. So, but having said all that,
right.
send an email to me. Send me his huddle link. Send me his contact information. Send me his GPA and a test score. If you send me all that information, I can do an evaluation on him to see whether he can fit our team or not. Problem is, I get so many of those a week, but I still think this is the best way. I get so many of those, I can't really reply to every single one of them. So I can't promise that. But we usually, if we want someone or I'm very interested in someone, I'll email right back and say, okay, tell me a little bit more about a kid, you know. But alemaf@byu.edu, that's my email, alemaf@byu.edu. And if you send an email to me, I look at every single email. I'll click on every single link. And really, if he hasn't impressed me in the first 10 plays, it's going to be tough for us to continue on from there. But so it's a highlight film for a reason. Put your best stuff right in the first few plays.
If you had to estimate, how many hours of huddle film have you watched maybe in a calendar year, if you had to guess?
Well, you know, there's only me.
Yeah.
And then I'm the guy that moves the information onto the coaches,
right?
And I'm not going to bother the coach with a guy that, you know, I don't believe in. So, You know, so it's not necessarily watching all the film, but getting the film to the right guys, and they're making decisions as they get them, you know. And, you know, Kalani doesn't like us that we stay over, you know. He wants us to see our families. You know, his boss is very important. You know, families are very important, you know. Right. So, and not that we didn't do that at Utah, but we don't probably, you know. So I'm watching film all day usually.
Yeah.
Just all day. I'm just, yeah. I'm clicking on things. I don't want to miss things. But I do have to make quick decisions and funnel the information to the coaches. And that takes some time sometimes because it doesn't stop at the position coach. And then he needs to show that to his coordinator and show that to his head coach to get it approved to be a guy that we're going to offer, you know. So it takes all these steps, but it's still a very unique way of getting guys. So that's why I prefer an email to me that gives me a record of something that I can share very easily with a coach. And then just make sure that information's on there. Huddle link, graduation year, and then contact information. And GPA, if you have the GPA on there, GPA test score.
And before we let you go, Alema, and again, appreciate all this time here in this critical portion of the recruiting season as we count down to signing day here at Cougar Tracks, KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com. Again, we can't get into specific names right now, but the 2020 class, just your general feelings at the moment of what you feel like that class will be when some of these guys do sign.
I think the class is going to be a strong class. It's going to meet all our needs. Again, that's a strong class coming in as freshmen, or they're going on missions, right? But I think what's even better is the return missionaries coming back who are going to fill the spots, and they're going to be in our locker room, you know, this spring and this fall. That's who I'm really excited about, because those are guys are going to be in-house, and we're going to start seeing them develop. And the crew that I want to talk about is like the guys who are working out so that they can join us in January. That crew's going to be good. Those are return missionaries back who are excited.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Big thanks to Alema Fatisimanu for joining me here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. Great stuff from Alema. I really enjoyed my conversation with him to give kind of perspective and insight into the recruiting process, one, and two, what BYU has to offer on the recruiting trail. I like this 2020 recruiting class. At first, you were thinking, you know, it's kind of a slow starting group, but as they continue to pile up the pieces, this is a solid class, and I think it's a group that's going to round out the depth of this BYU football program. Most of them are going to be sign and send, and most of the guys you talk about coming back from missions are the ones that have an opportunity to compete right away in year one, potentially, at least move the needle and make guys work for their starting jobs. But I appreciate Alema's insight. It's a busy time of the year for him. He's got a huge official visitor weekend coming up this weekend, and BYU will look to close strong next week when signing day, the early signing period, starts in college football. 77% of all recruits signed with D1 programs at the early signing date. This is the period when signing day takes place. And it kind of bums me out because February used to be such a huge spectacle. Now it's kind of been taken away a little bit. Now I want college football to move this date because 1 week before Christmas, in the middle of bowl season, it just kind of loses its pop. It loses its sizzle a little bit. But still, I love me some signing day. I love me some recruiting. And it's going to be a lot of fun next week as early signing period gets going. Hope you enjoyed hearing the podcast. If you did, subscribe to the show on Apple, Google Play, and Spotify. Leave a rating and a review. It helps out the show a ton. I'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.